Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the MetaCafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about the astrology of the day. And you can see I have my constellation cup today. I love this cup. When it's hot, when you put hot liquid in it, all of the constellations appear. And then you can tell where it's cooler, right? My coffee level's about here. And from the bottom, it cools as well. And then they disappear. Then you know it's time for another cup of coffee. By the time we're done this morning, this will be completely empty of and void of stars. So how's everybody doing this morning? I hope well. It was a really interesting day yesterday. It was filled with promise and anxiety for me in the very beginning. And then I went on to the radio show that I was doing in the afternoon, and I ended up having a great time with my friend Cornelia talking about what was going on for, or what is going to go on in 2019. And the rest of the day was quite busy. I was really glad when the day was over and I could just sit back and relax and not think anymore. And I ended my day listening to Marianne Williamson's talk last evening. And, you know, she always has such really great things to talk about. And yesterday's was no exception. If you guys are interested, let me know and I will post the link to that talk so that you can listen to it. It's great. I just put it on my phone. I set my phone down and just relax and listen. I think I might have even fallen asleep a little bit. Not that she's boring or anything like that, but just that. Hold on. I've got to raise my chair up. There we go. I felt like I was sitting on the floor practically. Not that she's boring or anything like that, but she does, you know, prayers and meditation within the hour and a half or so that she's talking. And I just got so relaxed and into the meditation that I nearly fell asleep. So let's see, people are checking in now. Let's see. Good morning, Willa. She made it on time. Colleen, good. Isn't that a fun cup? It is so much fun. Oh, look, it's already cooling down because, you know, it's hard for me to drink and talk at the same time. So while you guys are enjoying your cup of coffee, I'm just sitting here looking at mine. Oh, it's funny. Good morning, Rebecca. Good morning, Mimi. Good morning, my friend, Debbie. And I hope you're all doing well. I saw someone else just check in. Asa, good morning. Good morning. So we don't have a whole lot to talk about today, but every time I think that, then I come up with something that I want to chat about. And today I want to talk a little bit about Chiron because he's sort of faded to the background of my, you know, thoughts. And then every once in a while, something happens and I get triggered and I'm thinking, oh man, what is that all about? And this morning I was looking for the reason I got triggered, and I wasn't really triggered. That's a bad way to say it, but I just had this dip that happened in my energy or in my cheerfulness. And I was like, what the heck? Where did that come from? The moon's in Taurus. It shouldn't be causing you this kind of, you know, issue. There's nothing big going on. And then I went and realized that the sun today is in a square, which is a challenge, a 90 degree angle with Chiron. And Chiron is sitting, it's now forward, right? It's moving forward. It's in the very last couple of degrees of Pisces, where we were finishing our dealing with victim energy. And that idea of being martyred or, you know, not having any connection to spirit. And I was kind of feeling like that this morning, which was really weird because I had really set myself up with expectations for how something was going to turn out, and it didn't. And then, so this morning I'm thinking about that. There are two things. They kind of went hand in hand. And I was really expecting a different result, or that something would happen differently. And it didn't. Not only did it not happen the way I expected it to happen, nothing happened. And you know how that goes, right? When you're expecting something and then it doesn't happen. And now you're in this process of, you know, wondering what you did wrong, or why is the universe always pooping on you? Or, you know, any of the other things that come up to in our minds. And I had gone there with my mind this morning. This always happens, guys, when I'm putting on my mascara. I don't even know if I got my mascara on right this morning because I was dealing with this issue. And then when I realized that Chiron and the sun were in a combination today, I realized, wow, it's the vestiges of an old wound that I am letting go of, releasing. And the best thing about this whole thing is it was a momentary blip on the screen of my day. And at other times past, and maybe this is true for you as well, other times past, this could have been something that took me out, you know, emotionally for the day, for the week, for the, you know, holiday, for whatever, right? And it was, there was a moment of recognition that this is old stuff, right? That this is an old pattern. And, you know, the fact that Chiron is, you know, leaving Pisces, for nearly 50 some years, when it finally gets out of Pisces, it's not going back for another 50 years or so. And so that these things that are still there for us are coming up because we need to let them go, right? We need to move on and heal from this wound and whatever that is for you. So it could be in a wound in prosperity. It could be a wound in your relationships. It could be a wound in the work that you're doing, in the love interests that you have or don't have, in your job or career sector, wherever Chiron is setting up shop in your chart is where it is really likely that you're, you know, moving through issues that you may, number one, like me, think I've already done all this. Why in the heck are you coming back? Or two, the continuing feeling of having something that dumped on you or not turn out the way you wanted it to. And then feeling like, you know, I never get what I want kind of thing. And that is what, you know, which is very victim-y, if you think about it. That is a total victim stance. Any way we look at that one, it is a victim stance. And that is what we are letting go of. So then I went to human design because, or human design and gene keys, both, because I wanted to see where Chiron was. I suspected I knew where it was. And sure enough, I was correct. It is still sitting at the gate 25. See, do I have my little chart handy here? So yes, I do. Let me show you where gate 25 is. Gate 25 is on the identity center. And the identity center right here, gate 25, and it connects the ego or the will center or the heart center to the soul center or to the identity center via the gate of shock. And in this particular chart, what in the heck is sitting at the gate of shock? I didn't even notice that one. Oh, the moon. Okay. So that day, the gate of the moon was sitting at the gate of shock, and it would have connected with Chiron and maybe set us up for a fall, right? This was on Monday. Yes. On Monday. Wow. Totally went out of my notice. It's probably a good thing. So at any rate, we have the gate 25, which is the gate of universal love. It is one of the four gates of love that we find on the identity center. There's the love of self, the love of your fellow humans, the love of the physical being and body and being, you know, grounded on the earth, and the love of the universe, the universal, the glue, if you will, the bigger L love. And that's where Chiron is sitting. So it triggers maybe all the places where you're not loving to yourself, loving to the world, loving to your family, loving, you know, you get my drift here, right? So it calls us back to that complete energy of L, love. We can put it on our forehead, and instead of loser, it means love, right? The energy of love. And, you know, we have a wound here as humanity, because we often forget that the glue that holds this universe together is love energy. And it's not loving to have, you know, negative things going on about yourself or about it. Anyway, if you want more information about that, listen to Marianne Williamson's talk last night, because she went into this with great depth. And now I get why, because of gate 25 and the moon. So this will shift, this will shift in February. So we're dealing with it for a little while yet, right? So we have time to learn about how love plays out in our lives and where we are not being loving or using the energy of universal love to our benefit. So today, undercurrent, there's that undercurrent going on of Chiron and the sun. And at times, you might feel that pang of, I don't know what, might be a pang of jealousy, of sadness, of expectations not fulfilled, and wonder where it comes from. And it's coming from this old wound. And the more willing you are to work through it and to release it, the faster it goes away. I can tell you, because it shifted quite quickly for me this morning, but only because I was able to recognize it. And maybe the whole purpose in that was for me to bring it to you so you could recognize it if you're feeling a little bit wounded in some respects this morning. Let's see, we've got more people checking in with us. Good morning, Michelle. It's good to see you. Lynn, good to see you today. Vanita, good to see you. Cindy Mitchell, she says she hopes all is well with everyone. Alex and Patricia, good to see you as well. Thank you all for joining me this morning. And can you feel the season winding up and the year winding down? It's kind of an interesting feeling, isn't it? Like there's still this hustle and bustle needed to get things done. And yet there's this feeling of culmination. Things are coming into completion. Of course, that's being driven a bit by the full moon coming this Saturday, the winter solstice gateway coming on Friday. And so there's a lot happening for us all packed into the end of the season and the end of the year. Good morning, Vicky. It's good to see you. Good morning, Kathy. Good to see you too. And for those of you who happened to be watching the news yesterday and heard about tornadoes in Port Orchard, Washington, that is not near where I live. So we were completely safe. But apparently like 50 homes were damaged and by a tornado. You just don't get those here usually. So it was kind of interesting, but not anywhere near me, thankfully. So my heart and my thoughts go out to those people who lost things in, you know, their homes or whatever. Nobody was killed. Nobody was hurt seriously that I know of. So I'm grateful for that. But Port Orchard is a ways away from me. Let's see. Today is also the moon in Taurus. It is still that feel good energy. It's still readily available for us. That energy that gives us connection to our senses, to the feelings of smell, taste, touch. In fact, the first thing I did this morning, maybe not the first thing, but one of the first things I did once I could open my eyes was I lit a candle. And I often do that anyway around the seasons because I just like the idea of scent and light. But this morning I found an apple cinnamon candle and I went, that smells so good. So I lit that candle because I wanted to feel that. I wanted to smell that. That is the power of the moon in Taurus, is our senses are heightened. So things feel better, taste better, look better. And also on the maybe more negative end of the spectrum, we also notice more completely and more quickly when things aren't smelling good, tasting good, feeling good. So maybe again, that was also playing into my noticing the disappointment I was feeling or the way that I felt around expectations not fulfilled this morning. So anyway, it is something that we still have access to today. The moon is in a nice formation, if you will, with both Neptune and Mars. And that makes for some pleasant energy, right? That overrides perhaps the more under the surface negative energies. And also the moon is trining Pluto today, and that makes for some depth of emotion. So don't be surprised if either you or someone you know is triggered by some kind of emotional connection. I was talking with one of our listeners in the morning, and she was experiencing a deep emotional wound yesterday. And I get it, right? It's that time of the year. It is often, you know, the time where the veil is still really thin. And so we are, you know, sometimes thinking about loved ones lost. And, you know, the emotion that we're feeling about maybe not having them with us at the season. So it is an emotional time. Be kind and gentle with yourself and with the people around you, because we don't know. You can't always look at someone and tell what it is that they're experiencing and what they're feeling. So my best advice for us through today is just to follow the light, right? Bring more light to everything. This is the season of light. We are in the last day, I believe, of the sun sitting at the gate of light. Today's the 19th. Yep. So tomorrow we move into another gate of love, the love of self and humanity. So it'll be interesting to see how the energies change tomorrow with the new gates being triggered. And by the way, have I ever talked to you guys about the human design year? Because I don't remember ever bringing this up. So, you know, in astrology, we have all of these times that demarcate the new year. We have January 1st, which is a very mechanical sort of way of thinking of the new year beginning. It is mechanical. It is arbitrary. There is no real meaning to the reason why January 1st was chosen as the day to begin the new year. It doesn't even make sense, right? But it does throw us off our game, if you will, right? It takes us out of the sync that we would have with the natural rhythms of our real world, right? Of our spiritual world. So when you think about that, you know, January 1st is really very, I mean, why not make it Christmas Day? Why not make it the winter solstice? It's arbitrary. So then after we have January 1st, we have the advent of the human design year, which usually happens right around January 22nd or so. And I'm going to tell you exactly what date it is this year. It will be January 22nd. That is the first day of the human design new year. And the human design new year begins when the sun gets to gate 41. The gate of imagination. So I'm going to show you where that is. It's in the root center. It is right here at the very bottom corner. And we send out a pulse this day of imagining and creativity. And I want to throw out another new word for you guys. And this is one I thought I made up. And then I discovered it was a word that came up somewhere in the 30s. And then I went, wow, that's sad. Boo hiss. And it's the word imagineering. Imagineering is the combination of imagining and engineering. Imagineering. And we become imagineers when we begin to realize we're the creators of our reality. And we do this every year. We already know we have that sort of feeling around the first of the year, the calendar year, where we want to set resolutions, or we make resolutions, or we set goals, and we aspire to, you know, what might be going on for us in the next year. And in reality, the sun isn't anywhere near a gate of imagination on that day. It's just not. In fact, I don't even know what gate it is. Let's see. Where is the sun on the first? The sun on the 1st of January is at, oh, great. That's a good one. The gate 38, the gate of struggle and fight. So we have, you know, four more weeks after that before we actually get to a time when we have imagination energy available, excuse me, creative energy available to us. And that begins another phase in the new year, right? Then we have the Chinese Lunar New Year that begins in February. That's where they begin their new year. And their new year is based on the revolution of 13 moons. It's a lunar-based calendar. And it begins with the new first, I don't even know how to describe when that one is. I'm not as well versed in Chinese or lunar astrology like that. But that's a new year. And then in astrology, we always think of the new year as being the spring equinox, the first day that the sun comes to the sign of Aries. 0 degrees Aries begins the astrological year. It could be a new year as well. So we have all of these different impulses coming up over the next few months of something new and a new way to be in the world. And that of all of those, January 1st seems the least likely to actually have any meaning. It's arbitrary. It's calendric. And, you know, it is in many people's, in many of the mythological corners. And I think even Joseph Campbell speaks to this, is that the dawning of the calendar and our use and dependence on time killed our connection to the natural order of the world, to the natural rhyme and reason of the seasons. Because now we base everything on time. I have to be here at a certain time. I have to be there on a certain day. And it organized our lives around time and very mechanical things and not the more spiritually defined natural rhythmic cycles of things. So we're always out of sync. Unless you are purposefully following a different trail through the month or the year or the way that you, you know, time things in your world, then you are out of sync. So it, that takes us back even, you know, to the more ancient Celtic days, the ancient pagan days where they were following a rhythm, the wheel of the year. And Suzanne, you could probably tell us more about that, the wheel of the year, where there were the cross quarter days, there were the actual high holy days, which would be the equinoxes and the solstices, and timing was more natural. We lived in a rhythm and a balance with nature and not outside of it. So you can see we've been sort of pushing ourselves and forcing ourselves for many millennia now to be something that we're not, to be out of the rhythm and sync of timing. And that is a part of all of our problems. So think about this. Let's say you were born in the middle of the night, 1, 2, 3 in the morning. So your natural rhythm of wakefulness happens then. It's not at the 7, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning when it's time for you to get up. So you have had to arbitrarily redefine your energy cycle, and not usually to your benefit, right? Not usually to your benefit. People like me that were born early in the morning, I was born at 7:58 in the morning. If I'm left to my own devices, I will wake up at 7:30-ish every day. But I have to set an alarm because I need to get up earlier. Actually, now I'm in this cycle. I arbitrarily wake up at 6 a.m., but that's from, you know, being it. But if on the weekends I don't have to get up to be here with you all, I will sleep till 7:30 at least. So we end up putting ourselves into these, you know, fake rhythms. So it's time for us to really try to get back into the natural rhythm of things. And in no large part, that's what I try to do here with everyone, is I try to get you tuned in to what the natural rhythm and cycles are of the planets above, of the seasons that we're looking at, in the energies through our human design that trigger various parts of our DNA in sequence throughout the year. And it's an interesting way for us to look at how do we live our lives. Do we want to live our lives arbitrarily according to the Gregorian calendar that was, you know, really foisted upon us? Or do we want to live our lives more in cycles, right? In the cycle, the natural cycle of things. And I know we live in a real world that is not so given to living those kind of natural cycles. So in some way we have to, you know, there are some things that we have to conform to. I can't imagine my husband's boss being, you know, overly happy about him getting to work at 4:15 in the morning when, you know, that would be his natural cycle. So we in some way have to be able to work with the world that we live in, but we also want to honor those natural cycles as they come up. So there we have that. So let me see what people are saying this morning. Lynn, that the theme of lovability, so spot on. All there is to do is tap back into the truth of who we are. Absolutely. Kathy Miller, I'm on a countdown for Christmas and just almost overwhelmed. Okay, let me get on that soapbox for a minute, because that was pissing me off this morning too, as I'm pouring my coffee that I'm not drinking. Notice all the constellations have disappeared. So I'm thinking about Christmas and, you know, all the pressure that we put on ourselves. You know, I have 9 grandchildren now, and I have 4 grown children, and they have significant others. And then I have my husband's twin brother, and, you know, I've got now 13 new siblings and all these people now in my life. And I'm feeling this extraordinary pressure to get gifts for people. And I went, God, you know, that is, it's madness, right? This is madness. Christmas is madness, because we are out there, you know, buying up everything that we can find. And if we're not doing it You know, if we're not buying presents, we're, you know, out there jumping from one party to another, one celebration to another. And I was sitting there thinking about the expectation that not only we place upon ourselves, but then I'm thinking of my grandchildren, you know, sitting there on Christmas morning, or it'll be New Year, Christmas Eve. We get together on Christmas Eve. And them getting their presents and madly opening these presents, but really not an understanding of what it is that we're doing. Why are we doing this? Right. And I see Christmas itself as an act of love. Yes. But I think we've lost the total meaning of it. Like this idea of getting together and doing this, and, you know, it's all based on presents, and what would happen? If there were no presents on Christmas morning or on Christmas Eve, what if the gift was the getting together and eating and drinking and being merry, playing games or just hanging out? It would be such a difference, right? I don't know, but I was kind of getting irritated with that whole idea, that pressure that is put upon us to go out, buy a bunch of stuff, and, you know, literally, how many of you go into debt every Christmas, right? I mean, maybe we don't, because we maybe know a little better, but a lot of people do, and they don't pay off Christmas until sometime around, you know, Halloween, and then it's time to start it all over again. So it's kind of a crazy thing, and it totally mutes and distills down to nothing what the meaning of the season is. And I don't know. I would rather us get together and make Christmas ornaments, or I don't know. But it was one of my little rants going on in my head this morning. Debbie says, no presents, drink champagne. Well, I wouldn't want my grandkids drinking champagne, but it could be fun to have hot cider. I don't know. It was just one of those things I was thinking about today, the whole dilution of what the meaning is of the season, because we're on a mad dash every day, getting overwhelmed, making sure we have enough presents, that we've bought enough stuff, that we, you know, have it evenly spread out across 9 grandkids, or, you know, 10 people, 20, there's 23 people in my family now. And maybe more, that might be a miscount. So think about that, you know, kind of relaxing a bit and pulling yourself away and looking back in with some more sanity around what are you doing, right? How are you doing what you're doing? Patricia, give the grandkids homemade cookies. That's fun too. Kathy Miller, haha, I want to give too, but I'm making some this year. I have all those new family and 1,001 grandchildren already told them not to expect presents. Asa says, I'm giving readings for the holiday and candles. Awesome. Getting back to simplicity, right? The simplicity, the simpleness of something given from the heart and not at your local superstore that, you know, you have to, you know, run up and down the aisles and just pulling things off shelves that, you know, really have no meaning for you. So it requires our thinking ahead and really, you know, tapping into what it is that each of the individuals that you're giving to would really want and would really enjoy, not just going out and shopping. Shop until you're dropping. Good morning, Laura. Mimi says, my waking cycle is tied to the daylight and changes throughout the year. I look forward to winter solstice and the lengthening or slowing of the daylight. I do too. Here we're looking at the shortest day of the year coming up here. Michelle says, trying to get Jocelyn in bed and asleep before 9:30. It's a never-ending battle. She was born at 9:34 p.m., right? You know, and she's still very much close to the natural cycle she was born with. You know, and think about what we do to our children. I mean, we start at age 5, sometimes younger, if you are a working mother and you've got to get them off to preschool or a daycare situation, right? We're already predisposing them to all of the madness that the calendar and the cycle of time means for us. So they never really get a chance to just be kids, to, you know, be just free to run and roam. And then we wonder why, you know, why teachers wonder why their kids are always so, you know, crazy in the classrooms. because their natural cycle isn't about sitting still. It just isn't. They're not meant to sit still. They're meant to run and play and exercise and have a great time. And, you know, not that there's not good timing for learning, but I think we artificially push ourselves into being something that we are not. All right. So let's see what else people are saying. For my soul sisters, I sent Christmas gifts during the year just to say I love you and miss you. Made most of the gifts this year for my family. That's cool. Hot cider. What about apple pie? You'll never catch me eating apple pie, Kathy. Pizza and getting together. No one has a huge house anymore to gather at. Yeah. So anyway, just interesting thoughts. I think, you know, it's natural for us at this time of the year, at this season of the year, to sort of reevaluate what are we doing and why are we doing what we're doing? Maybe that's part of it, right? There's a bit of nostalgic feeling in the air anyway, because the nodes are sitting across Cancer and Capricorn. And I think a longing or a yearning maybe for us deep within to return to simplicity and a life less, you know, congested with things I have to do, places I have to go. And then anyway, you know, maybe we look forward to winter because things do slow down a bit. You know, the cool weather keeps us in, the rain keeps us in, the wind scares us back into the house. So anyway, interesting things for us to chat about this morning. By the way, one last thing, there is a void of course moon today. It doesn't begin until 4:42 p.m. my time. So that would be 7:42 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. So it comes at the end of the day, so it doesn't really affect us, but it does mean that the moon is shifting out of a Taurus and into Gemini, and that won't happen until 6:35 a.m. tomorrow morning, my time, 9:35 a.m. your time on the East Coast. So it's a fairly long void of course moon, but luckily we're at home, we're in bed, and we wake up in the morning to a new sign that the moon will be in. And that is all I have for you. Oh no, I have one more thing I wanted to share with you guys this morning. Remember, I want to say it was last week, maybe it was the week before, we were talking about setting up a spiritual practice as a foundation and, or, you know, adding to enhancing your connection to spirit. And one of the things that we talked about was, taking trips, you know, like meditation trips or spiritual trips. And I happen to have a friend that is doing just that. And I spoke about that day. Amy is, you know, doing spiritual trips around to various places around the world. And what I did was this morning, I posted on the Living Astrology page, the webinar that she's hosting tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m. my time. So that would be 8:30 East Coast time, on the different trips that she has available for 2019. So I'm kind of excited to check it out. I know one of the trips is to Ireland, and I think that's in September. And another trip was to Cambodia, perhaps. I don't know. She will tell you all about that. So I posted the link. It's free. You can just sign up to go and hear about some of the things that she's offering. And I do believe there is a $200 discount toward the trips if you attend the webinar. So woohoo, right? All right, my friends, that's it for me today. I hope you all have a wonderful day. And don't forget, if you get into that moment of feeling low or, you know, thinking that, you know, something is not going the way you planned, just remember it's a blip on the screen and it is Chiron hoping and praying that you have gotten past your victim energy and the blame game energy, right? So do what you want today. Have a great day. Love to you all. See you tomorrow morning. Bye.